Tired of commuting across town for music lessons? Are you sick of crappy YouTube tutorials? Then go to fetchclass.com. www.fetchclass.com. Teach and be taught in a secure video conference one-on-one. Better than Skype and or FaceTime. Included is a scheduling system that reminds you of upcoming lessons. It's great for teachers and students alike. Join now and get learning. www.fetchclass.com. That's www.fetchclass.com. With yearly revenue at $347 billion per year on an e-commerce site, you need a website. You need bot.96.lt, a place to buy and sell anything. There's no need to build a website, it's built for you. Be part of an e-commerce community. If you already have a web store, you can join for free now. Go to bot.96.lt for more details. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Apolog podcast. Thanks so much for supporting the show, and thanks a lot for telling a friend. You can go to www.apolog.esy.es. Apolog is spelt APOLOGUE.esy.es. Please subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please subscribe to that too and rate and review the show. Also, if you shop on Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of apolog.esy.es and bookmark it. And every time you shop on Amazon, go to that bookmark and you'll be supporting the show. It costs you no extra money, but it really helps me out. Thank you so much and enjoy this show. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Apolog Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Today, we have Kieran Strange joining me in her car in Vancouver over a video link. And we spoke a little bit about her music, her life, moving over from England to make it in the big times. We talked a little bit about her new album. We talked very briefly about Pokemon. And it was a good conversation. I had a fun time speaking with Kieran. I wish her all the luck and all good health and happiness in Vancouver. And ladies and gentlemen, I give you Kieran Strange. Okay, everybody, welcome to episode 16 of the Apolog podcast. And today I'm joined over a video link to Kieran Strange. And she is a singer and activist. What else do you do?
Oh, gosh, what don't I do? I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter. I love to make costumes and play board games and video games. And like you said, activist. And mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. I'm way too busy.
And so you are originally from England.
Yes.
As am I.
I'm sorry.
Where were you born?
I was born in Portsmouth.
I was born in Portsmouth.
Really? Yeah. Well, okay. I'll get a bit smaller then. I usually say Portsmouth because people don't sort of know the area, but Chichester?
Yeah, see, I was born there and then we moved when I was like 6 months old. So I obviously don't have an accent. I went back for the 1977 Silver Jubilee.
Nice.
With my parents, and I went back a few times as a musician, but I have family there. I don't know half of them. So you're originally...
What's funny, everyone in England has family in Canada as well, so it's like the two countries are so linked. Like
that's
all of
right.
My friends were like, oh, I have friends in Canada when I said I was going there, so...
That's right, and then when you're on Coronation Street, when you have to go somewhere or have a baby, you go to Canada? Or
yeah. Always Canada.
Always Canada, or somewhere else, or Spain or Germany to get a hip replaced or something. Portsmouth. Yes, you know what? I haven't been there since I was born. So I know that it's like a holiday town, right?
Yeah, it's like it used to be a naval town. Actually, mm-hmm. The Spanish Armada were going to attack it back in the days when the Spanish Armada were around. Mm-hmm. But it's very much a naval town. It's rivals with Southampton, which I believe is where the Titanic set sail from.
It did. Yeah. Its last port was at Southampton.
Yes.
Right. And so you live most of your life there, or did you come across, when did you head over this way?
I was 17 when I moved out here. I had lots of friends in Canada and America, which I've met online. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of came out to visit and saw the country and saw Vancouver and kind of fell in love with it. So I was like, so I went home to my parents and was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I think I'm going to move.
Oh, really? Canada. They had no problem with it at the age of 17?
My parents were fine. My mom is really, like, my parents are so nice and so supportive, like, especially of my music career and all that kind of stuff. So when I said to my mom, like, I want to move, you know, I mean, we had long conversations about it. And my mom basically said, well, I can either agree to it and support you, or I cannot agree to it. And then you'll get mad and go when you're 18 anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. Good choice, mom.
So did you have to hold your breath? Like, I'm going to hold my breath until you let me go to Canada and become a famous musician.
Yeah. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to clean my room.
Yeah. What do you think of that? You know, that's teeny. Oh my God.
No, they were really cool. They were really chill. Apparently my mom said she expected that I would want to move, when I came back, like as soon as I landed, they picked me up from Heathrow and I sort of told them in the car, it was outside the supermarket. They came back in from picking up food for dinner and I was like, yeah, I got something to tell you. I'm moving to Canada. And my mom just kind of looked at me and was like, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
At that age too. I don't know. I have a daughter and I have a son, and I don't know if they told me they were moving 6,000 kilometers away, actually more, I would have I'd probably have a conniption. I'd probably be like, so do you
How
miss
old
home?
Kids?
Well, they're 11 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah, my son's turning 12.
Well, hopefully you won't have to deal with that for a while.
Well, no, hopefully not, you know. Yeah. So now I was going to ask, do you think that English music, the scene, made you come over here, or it was just something you needed a big change? It was a... What was your reasons for coming over, besides just having friends?
I think most of it was just, I just needed the change. Like, I grew up in a small town, and everyone knew each other. I think it was about 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it was just slow and nothing happened. And like, you know, I could have moved to London or Manchester was somewhere I was looking at. I had friends in Manchester as well. Mm-hmm. I knew I needed a bigger city, but I think it was just the change. I think it was just how fresh and new everything was, because you wouldn't think that there was such a large cultural difference, like a culture shock between two very English speaking countries. Mm-hmm. But the culture shock here was so different. It was kind of like walking onto the set of a movie. Like, there was like wide roads and 7-Elevens, and I was like, oh gosh, this is like watching, you know, like cable or something.
Yeah. Was Vancouver your first stop, or did you come along, did you stop in Toronto at all on your way through, or?
No, I had friends in Edmonton and I had friends in Vancouver. And one of my friends from Vancouver was moving to Edmonton anyway. I said, well, why don't I just move to Edmonton then? And, you know, if I like it, I'll stay. And if not, I'll move back to Vancouver. And surprise, surprise, I wasn't a huge fan of Edmonton.
No.
So, yeah. But it was nice. Like, I had friends I could move in with. And I was waiting for my work visa, so they gave me a break on rent. And I did their chores and cleaned up the cat litter tray and cooked dinner and that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, they were really supportive. And it was really cool to have people here, because it was not only the culture difference of moving to another country, but also like I had to learn how to wash my own clothes and cook my own dinner and do my taxes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
you had to grow up. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a shock.
I bet. I mean, at the age of 17 too. I mean, I'm sorry, but that, I mean, you know, that should be something that people did long time ago. You know, when they needed to move, they were gone. And it seems like people want to stay home longer mostly it's financial reasons, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's so expensive. I mean, I live in Vancouver now and it's like, I don't know if I'll ever own a home in Vancouver. It's just so expensive here. You're looking at like $3 million for a house.
Yeah. You got to move out towards Chilliwack or Delta.
Yeah. I thought about White Rock. That's where all the rich people live. I'm like, I could buy myself a $5 million mansion in White Rock. Yeah, one day.
If you vision it, it will come true.
Yeah,
if anything,
swimming pool.
If Steve Jobs told me anything, taught me anything, is you have to vision it and it will come true. Close your eyes and just vision that.
I'm envisioning the swimming pool.
Oh, me too. We have too many leaves here. We can't have a swimming pool, unfortunately. But so did you have a music career in England coming over, or was that something that was, did you just, was there a following for you, or was it all just breakaway and off you go?
It was breakaway, brand new. I knew I wanted to go into music. I was an A-plus student at school, and you know, my mom would, like, she was super supportive, but she would constantly ask, like, so when are you going to get a real job and stop doing the music? But I mean, when I moved over here, I didn't like I've been songwriting since I was a child, but I didn't have like a band or any decent songs or anything. I pretty much started songwriting as soon as I came to Canada, and then used Craigslist actually to try and find a band. So
that's good. You could either get murdered, raped, or have a music career.
Yeah, and thankfully it was the third one of the three.
That's awesome. That's insane. I mean, that is so crazy that you know. I mean, I just think, as my own life as a musician, it's like it took me to the age of 25 before I could even make some sort of breakaway, you know? And so that's a very impressive thing. That is a very, very cool thing to do. I kind of come into these conversations not really knowing much about, and then I get to, you know, learn more, and, you know, there's a bio on you and all that, but it's like, it's good to know that somebody actually took a chance in life and just said, you know what, I'm going to follow my dream. I'm going to go to Canada and just go to Vancouver, which is the scariest town when it comes to after 10 o'clock is when the zombies come out.
It's not as scary as Montreal, man.
Montreal's kind of scary, you're right. But Montreal's scary in a different kind of way. Vancouver's scary in a way, like East Van. Like, is it still creepy East Van, creepy, where all the zombies hang out?
Yeah, but it's, you know what, though? Like, they keep to themselves for the most part. I mean, for those of you who don't know Vancouver, it's... we have an area, Maine and Hastings, down in East Van, and it's there's a lot of homeless, because, I mean, Canada is so cold that Vancouver is one of the only places that the homeless people can kind of live year-round and not freeze to death. So we have such a homeless problem, and a lot of them, you know, are stoned or cracked out or on heroin or whatever down on East Van, down in Maine and Hastings. But you know what, for the most part, like, I mean, I've walked through it, and it's safe. It's just creepy.
So when you moved to Vancouver, did everything happen fast for you in your music, or how did it get started?
It got started, me and my roommate, who now is ironically my manager, would just sort of sit and songwrite, and I would just kind of I didn't play any instruments, I just wrote lyrics and melodies. So I would just kind of sit and write, and then I jammed with a couple people in Edmonton that I met on Craigslist. I remember one guy, we jammed with him, and he was stoned most of the time, and it was this like dingy, nasty little like practice studio, and we didn't quite sort of hit it off. And then I met up with another band in Alberta, we did more of like a sort of screamo progressive kind of thing, and they had a bunch of tracks that they recorded that they didn't have top line for, so music and lyrics and melody. So I put my melodies, sort of I worked them into the songs they'd already written, and we jammed for, I think, 6 months before going our separate ways. We'll just say musical differences, because that's, you know, the usual one. And then after that, my roommate, the girl who's now my manager, she was moving back to Vancouver, and I was like, well, I don't have my band here anymore, and to be fair, I'm kind of sick of, you know, 7 feet of snow in May, so I'll come to Vancouver with you. And started looking and set up another band and another band, and we sort of jammed for a while, and then after that I went solo. I think I just sort of, you know, bands are great, like I love playing with bands, there's a really good chemistry, but it's really hard to find a good amount, like the four musicians or the three musicians you need to, who are solidly dedicated and willing to put in like the time and money, because, you know, it's a pretty big dedication to try and go the distance. So I just decided, like, you know, if I'm solo, then it's me. I don't have to rely on anyone else. If someone screws up, that's me. It's down to me. So I've really enjoyed being a solo artist. It's been a lot of fun.
I know that. I know that feeling. Someone needs to maintain control of that. And I think we've all, anybody who's played in a band has had that one band that's sort of, there seems to be the control freak. There's the one that sort of, there's the one that wants to take care of all the bookings and always seems to screw it up somehow. And there's always the one that's like, I'm the one that's going to do all the t-shirts, and I'm going to do the t-shirts design, 'cause I'm really good at Photoshop, you know? And it always seems to be a comedy of just, I thought you were going to, oh, and now you're at the show and nobody brought drums, you know? That's
Oh gosh, where's the drummer? He's still at home.
You didn't call him? Oh, I thought you called him. You know, God, you know, I can't, you know, whatever. I'm a tour manager now, so I know that there's definitely a need for someone to keep all of this glued together. And
be the Monica Geller.
But you, as a self-made solo artist, it becomes your responsibility. It's your name. It's your words. It's your whole thing that you're putting out. And I know that feeling. You can control it more when you're...
Yeah. And I'm lucky I have a really good sort of team behind me who can kind of help pick me up when I fall down and and that kind of thing. Like my manager, Kit, she's so great. She's kind of manager, therapist, tour manager.
Yeah.
So she keeps me on the straight and narrow and, you know, make sure that I'm meeting deadlines that I'm forgetting about because there's so much to do that you're just, you're constantly inundated with, oh gosh, I need to do this t-shirt design. So it's really nice to have someone else who's good at organization to kind of keep me focused and because you know I'm an artist, my mind wanders and goes crazy.
It's hard to find that one balance between art and business, you know. Definitely. It's not,
and I'm okay at business, I'm not overly good at it, so having like someone who can kind of push that side and help me with that side is really good.
Well, sometimes being a manager doesn't always have to be you can't always be very nice. You have to you kind of have to fight for what's right, you know, for you, for you as an artist. And you need that person in your corner who no matter what will, you know, I've seen many successes based on management and how they would walk in front of buses for this person.
Yeah.
You know,
and she's magic. I love her. She's
so
great.
That is important, you know, whether or not, and if you're, you know, well, I mean, if she's just starting out, that the enthusiasm and the eyes open and all that stuff basically helps everything just move along. And that's very important because we know that how fickle the music industry can be. We know how people say, oh, I don't like her because she's kind of mean and bitchy.
And I'm really bad. Like, I'm really good at being mean for other people. Like, I'd make a good manager for someone else.
Right.
But when it comes to me, I'm like, I'm one of those people who like defend my friends, but then I'm awful at taking care of myself. So
yeah, it's kill them with kindness too. That's another thing. Is like when you, I don't know, have you played any real, like you've played festivals and things like this, right? So
yeah.
So you know,
like anime conventions and stuff.
Yeah. So you have to sort of like, hey, how are you? Everybody's nice. This is a good day. Everything's fine. Even though, like, well, you're not getting any monitors and, you know, sorry, we're out of food. And, yeah, you wanted what? You wanted water? Okay, princess.
You wanted water? What?
Yeah. Okay, princess.
It's only 30 degrees. Like,
yeah. Oh, jeez. You know, but at the same time, you have to turn around and have this nice, happy, oh, how thank you. Thank you for shitting in my face. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It makes a difference. Like because I've toured so much, I've played so many shows and like I've worked with artists who are just so magic and just so nice. And like, no matter, like, you know, you'll say, oh, I've set up the merch table and I happen to have fairy lights, so I've put them on your side as well. And they're so grateful and so kind. And like, they'll go out of their way. Like, you know, do you want our merch girl to watch your merch booth while like you're on stage? Like, and then you meet the other artists who aren't as gracious and it really makes a difference. Like, I mean, not, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's, I'm not just like, I like to think I'm a nice person, but it's not like, I'm not just being nice so I can get something back or make a good impression. It's also a case of like, I'm being nice because, you know, I want to help the other bands on the bill. And like, you know, if we all work together, like one of the things, my manager and I did with a couple of other bands in Vancouver, a while ago was we really fostered like an all ages show community, and all of the bands would kind of help each other and promote each other and really kind of give each other a hand. And it's like, you know, musicians are so frightened to help other musicians out. And it's, I don't know, the way Kit's always said it is like, you know, how many bands do you have on your iPod? Do you have one band? No, then it's not a contest. Like, we're all kind of in this together. We all should be helping each other. And I guess I kind of like to foster that. So
that's definitely very important. And whether or not it backfires on you or not, it will pay in dividends in the future. Believe me. I mean, it will. It's just by being a cool person is strength alone to go off into the future. And people feeds off that. They feed off that. They feed off that, oh, the positivity of it all. And we're all here and we're all doing this together. Then you get that one group, you know what? You're not going to be around in a year from now. It's not really important anymore. I'm fed up. You know what? I'm 45, 44 years old. And when I was 20, there was a lot of competition between bands. There was always like, oh, you know, they never even got in the van and toured or all that stuff. And now it doesn't really
matter. They're not a real band.
They're not real. There's beer league bands, you know. And now it's important to see bands try to do something even more today than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still sucked back then. I mean, it still did, you know, the club scene and promoters weren't very, you know, into, and coming from England, I've played a few shows in England, and I know the promoters are a lot like the ones from Toronto. You kind of meet the same person. You're like, how, why are you here? Because if you go to Germany, Italy, Scandinavia, everybody seems to be a lot more into your presence.
Yeah. And it's, I think what a lot of it is that just, there's just so many bands. Like, now that we have the internet and we have social media, like, you know, it's made a music career sort of, so it's made it harder, but it's made it easier. Like, anybody can go out and grab like a $500 startup kit from, you know, Tom Lee Music or Long & McQuaid or something, and sit down and learn how to record themselves and put a demo up online. And because it's so easy to, it, like, it's so accessible, it's, yeah, promoters just have so many bands to pick from that, mm-hmm, promoters have sort of, I don't know, I've met some really great promoters, but because they have their pick, they can be a little more choosy and a little more douchey.
Yes. This is definitely a buyer's market with it when it comes to the,
oh yes,
you know, and it's a bummer because the good bands could be great bands faster if they were brought in, treated with the same amount of respect as the ones that have, say, I don't know, a major label behind them, or,
yeah,
or somebody who really is political and this and that. See, I never played that game well, you know. That's, yeah, why I'm doing podcasts.
The schmoozing.
Yeah, it's all about the political part of it. And, you know, in Toronto, living in Toronto my whole life is, it's been, you know what, I just went to Europe because I felt like people were way more into music there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Not in England, though.
Europe is amazing. And America's really cool as well. Like, I mean, I love the, yeah, Canadian market and I love Canada, but I've been touring America recently. We've been sort of all over, and it's, I love America, like, mm-hmm, to tour. Like, the fans are so into music. Like, Texas, they're crazy. They're just, really? It's such a music state. Like, yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah, I remember going down there a lot. I used to tour manage Sum 41 back in the early 2000s.
Oh, nice. Love Sum 41.
Yes, and we used to go in a van, but I noticed that, well, okay, we're driving. How long to the next show? 3 hours. Awesome. We don't need to drive, yeah, 100,000 kilometers to rejoin.
Hours,
yeah, like in Canada where you're driving to Winnipeg from Toronto, it's 25 and a half hours. I know that. You know, but it's, if you're driving from, I don't know, downtown New York, Manhattan to Philadelphia to Pennsylvania or Philly, it's like
Washington, yeah,
3.5 hours, you're there. And, yeah, then you can walk around and look at stuff, whereas you're always struggling to get to the next gig in Canada.
Yeah. And when we toured the States, we actually camped. We went to campsites.
Wow.
Because it was cheaper than renting a motel. And, like, didn't have a van that was... Like, we were driving in like a Honda Fit, so it wasn't like we could sort of sleep in the car. So we packed up a tent and we went camping. And so, you know, we're doing like, you know, in on the Canada dates, it was like 12-hour drives, then setting up a tent, then playing a show, then taking down the tent in the morning and driving another 12 hours.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, it was brutal, but it was really fun. Like, it was cool to be, was very different than, yeah, like staying in a motel, but I really enjoyed it. Like, especially down south where it was blistering hot, yeah, like, it was, yeah, really cool.
Did you have to do any parking lot Walmart camping, like, in the car because you couldn't find a spot, like, sleeping in a Walmart parking lot?
Have done once or twice, thankfully not too much, but they're, you know what, they're so nice down there. Like, the Walmarts actually specifically allow people to stay in their, yeah, in their parking lots.
Well, you need an RV to do that, though. They allow the RVs.
They have allowed us in a car before.
Crazy.
We had a security guard drive by, and he was like, because it was getting dark, and we just stopped at a Walmart to pick some stuff up for the camp. And he was like, oh, are you planning on staying overnight? And I was like, oh, he's going to give me attitude. And I was like, no, we're going to a campsite. And he's like, oh, just so you know, if you do need to stay, you can stay in any Walmart camp. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. God
like,
bless.
Super nice of you. Yeah, it was really cool. It's nice that they do that because it's, you know, it gives us somewhere safe to stay.
Cause, yeah.
We, yeah, can't afford motels every night.
No, of course.
We don't want to end up like that band. I forget what they were called. The ones who did the Pamplemousse. That was it. Pamplemousse.
Oh, right. You know, they lost $10,000. Yeah. I don't believe that.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe that at all. I mean,
well, it turned out it was an advertisement for his tour site, which is a very, very good site. But I wag my finger. I think it's called patron or patriot or
yeah
something
patreon
like that. Yes,
yeah, that's the new put my hand out and maybe somebody put some money in my hand because I have 7 million views on my YouTube, but you know what, I am a fan of them. I think they do amazing things. I love what they do.
Yeah, totally.
They've always did this style, they did the style with multi cameras and they'd cut all their videos together, and now they started doing projections. I don't know if you see the ones with projections.
Cool.
On Foamcore.
No.
They do Get Happy, and they do it with like projections, and they put little foam core things on a table and put a projector, one projector, on the whole thing. And it's him. He's a video genius. Joe.
That's awesome. Damn.
Conte? Is that his name? Yeah. No, he's.
I think so.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Their music is great. They're a good band.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I giggled when I was reading the article. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you're not going to get I read it too, and I'm like, you're not going to get a lot of, you know.
Sympathy.
No, yeah. When you have a crew, and how long was the tour? It was something like, well, you could have scaled stuff back, but we're just, I'm just a jaded old, you know, punk rocker from the 90s.
I've shared, like, motels. I remember the one night we managed to get, a couple nights we managed to get motels when I was touring with, a band who were white shirting for me. They're called Within Rust. Mm-hmm. They're a local band. They're really good. And they would play their set and then they would white shirt for me and play for me and I would perform. And I remember like motels were like nasty, cheapy, crappy little motels. And all six of us or five of us are like wedged into a motel room and singers and driver get the beds.
Did you do much driving on the tour or did you have to just do all the singing?
I was lucky because I didn't have my driver's license.
That's what they all say.
It really, you know what, I'm going for my test. I'm getting it because I'm sick of not being able to drive on tour and feeling useless because I sleep in the car. Mm-hmm. As soon as we start it up, my head hits the pillow and I'm or the seat and I'm down. So I you know, maybe if I drive, I'll be able to stay awake.
Yeah.
But we had when we did that tour, we had one driver. It was the bassist from Within Rust, John. He was the only one with his driving license.
Wow.
And I remember one night he did a 22-hour drive on 3 hours of sleep and then played the two sets and then he just went home and died.
It's just like, yeah, it I didn't sign up for this.
Brutal.
He's way too enthusiastic.
Poor guy.
He has a story out of it, though. He's got a story, you know?
Yeah, he's got it. And he was great. He was. We called him Dad and he'd listen to U2 and we called it his dad music and he made his dad jokes and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you have plans to, you're recording right now, right?
I just finished recording for my new EP, which is coming out in April. It's called Last Hero Standing. And then I'm going to be this summer touring and songwriting for my next EP. So,
cool. Let's talk a little bit about the recording, the EP.
Sure.
And yeah, where are you?
I'm in Vancouver right now. I just got back from LA the other day. We were doing a video for the new single. So,
oh, okay.
That was a lot of fun. I bounce between LA and Vancouver depending on what I'm doing and where I'm needed. So.
Yeah. So let's talk about the recording. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was lucky enough to I just signed to Porterhouse, mm-hmm. who are a really awesome indie label based out of LA, and I was working with Steve Kravac, who's the owner operator of Porterhouse, and he's really wicked. He's worked with Blink-182, MXPX, Less Than Jake, and he's a really, really wicked songwriter. So we actually sat down and wrote three of the songs on the EP together pretty much like in a weekend. We just sort of sat down and worked on it and, you know, just came out with some really, really, really cool stuff. And he recorded and produced all my vocals, and it was super fun working with him. Like, he was such a taskmaster, but it was so wicked because he had such a vision for my voice and how he wanted my voice to sound. And we're both like big Bowie fans as well as rock fans, so we wanted it to have that kind of clearness to the vocals that Bowie kind of has. Like, it's very clear, very naked, just sort of these are vocals and here they are. And then we did some demos of the tracks themselves and then bounced them over to Ben Kaplan in Vancouver, who's super dope. And he's currently mixing and getting everything down right now for the actual instruments. That's the word.
So. Yeah. Steve and I actually worked on the same thing in 1994.
Oh, cool. What'd you work on?
It was an album called Two Line Filler. It was on New Red Archives, which is the guy from the UK Subs' is label.
Cool.
And bands like Sam I Am were on that label, sort of old emo bands from the early 90s. And
do you know what emo?
What's that?
Do Original emo.
Original. Well, before it had a name back in the day.
Before MCR, like My Chemical Romance, came out and kind of made it a thing.
That's right. That's right. Yes. And actually, there was a band called the Get Up Kids, but we're going to talk about the Get Up Kids after that because I have a Get Up Kids. But here's my Steve story. So Steve and I worked. I knew Steve because he had worked on early Doughboys albums, if you ever heard of a band called the Doughboys. And he worked on the first Doughboys album, and that's how I knew him. And he was working at West Beach Recorders, which is Epitaph's recording studio.
Yes, yeah.
And I ended up working a couple of years later for a band called SNFU, and I was down, and Steve and SNFU were old friends. So I start talking to him, and I'm like, Steve, and I didn't know his last name. I go, oh my God, we worked on the same album. And he mixed a thing I recorded up here in Toronto for a guy.
Oh, cool.
His name's Matt White, and this guy's a complete loopy, crazy dude. And so crazy that nobody wanted to be in a band with the guy. So I ended up I played drums and bass on his album. He wrote, sang on it. But he was just a complete crazy person. And the band is called Two Line Filler. If you can Google it, there's an album called Listener, which I worked on. And Steve actually mixed it. So if he remembers that'll be really cool. That'll be really cool.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him. That's wicked.
I don't think he remembers. He's probably worked on 1,000 albums since then.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good memory for albums he's worked on, though.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice dude. Like, we'd basically record during the day. He's super, super health conscious. So we'd have like really good meals. He's such a good chef. Mm-hmm. And we'd eat like really well all day. And I'd like do freshly squeezed orange juice. And then we'd record. And then we'd play Scrabble at night. So it was a lot of fun.
My Chemical Romance had a keyboard player, Jeff. Yeah. I can't say his last name. Dewoos?
I don't know his last name.
He was the touring keyboard player who ended up...
The Black Parade, yeah.
The Black Parade. He used to be in a band called the Get Up Kids. And the Get Up Kids are a band from Kansas, I believe. And My Chemical Romance gives the Get Up Kids the prop say if there was never a Get Up Kids, there would never be a My Chemical Romance.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you want to check them out, there's a band called the Get Up Kids. And they are... Even that, it's another emo thing gets popped out there where it's sort of before it had a thing. And they're one of my favorite bands of all time. And it's so funny how when I sort of came into My Chemical Romance, I'm like, when the Black Parade came out, that album was something like, oh my God, this is awesome. But I had this weird little thing like, that's what kids like. I don't know why I like this so much. Why do I like this? And then when I heard he was like big fan of the Get Up Kids, I'm like, okay, you get a pass. You're okay.
My mom's always loved MCR. Like, I mean, my mom is, she's sort of into rock music as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she was into like Sabbath and AC/DC and all that kind of stuff. So when I sort of played like, I'd play like The Used and My Chemical Romance and Muse and like that kind of thing. And she really loved the Black Parade album. Like, she really dug it. Like, Teenagers was like her favorite song for a while. And every time it came on the radio, she'd turn it up really loud.
Do you miss home?
I do, yeah. Funny enough, my brother gave birth today. So,
oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, I'm an auntie.
Aww.
So, yeah, little Parker Strange. And I'm so sad. Like, it's one of those moments where it's like, I'm so sad that I couldn't be there. It's like, just for, you know, it's my little brother and you know.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's when moments like that happen, or like when someone passes away or something, that you sort of remember that world is there and is still going on. Cause I think the way I deal with my homesickness, cause I get very homesick, is almost to sort of push it to the back of my mind, like put it on the back burner and just sort of focus on this world. And every now and then I'll hear a song, like my dad and I used to listen to a lot of Depeche Mode. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one time, Enjoy the Silence came on my friend's playlist. Like, I was just at her house and the song came on and I just started crying because listening to the songs that I listened to as a child remind you that it's sort of the same world and the same lifetime and all that's still going on. And it's hard. I wish I had the money to just jump on a plane tonight and be like, I'm gonna come see the baby. But alas,
I have to be
cool Canada aunt instead.
Well, I mean, the thing is too, it's things are a little bit different than they were, say, 20, 30 years ago, where you can sit here in a video conversation. It's almost perfect. It's almost where you're not stepping on each other's words, just that. It almost is there. It's so close. Yeah.
And I do it with my mom a lot. Like, we'll video chat on video chats that we're not allowed to say the name of. And, and you know, we talk for hours and you just don't even notice that you're talking for hours because it feels like you're on the couch with them just sort of chatting. It's really nice.
Yeah, when I used to go, I used to play in Europe. I used to go over to tour with my own band. And the first time I went, we'd buy phone cards, and I would buy a phone card in one of those German...
I used to do that. Yeah.
And it was like, okay, here's a phone card. It's like €2 an hour or something. It was so expensive. And this is in the early 2000s. And then by the last time I went was in 2012. And all I did was I took my phone, I put a new SIM card in, and I'm calling like it's nothing. Like, hello, you know? In between, I was spending thousands and thousands of dollars on communication fees. Like, we had a cell phone in the middle couple of tours, and I bought a €50 phone card for the pay as you go for the phone, and I used it in like 20-30 minutes. I'm like, duh.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's so expensive, and now it's like Facebook has chat. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I went over in 2012, and that's where like Wi-Fi hadn't been completely locked down yet. So I took the SIM card out of my phone and just used it as an iPod. And I'd walk around, and I was in Saarbrücken in Germany. I'm just walking around, and I'm like, oh, there's internet. And then I would sit on the front yard of these people's house and call home. And
that's awesome.
And I tried to do it again in 2012, and it just didn't happen. And everybody's like, screw that.
It's so cool because, I mean, like, it also, like, it's not just for family and stuff as well. It's like so much of my business is done over chat, like video chats and stuff, like business meetings and stuff like that. Like, I'm doing a project with they're a sort of a Japanese inspired attire and jewelry sort of company. They're called Tasty Peach Studios. And we're doing a co-project this year, which is going to be launched at SakuraCon in Seattle, which is on the 3rd to the 5th of April, I think. So it's coming up pretty fast here. And I mean, all of our meetings, like all of our discussions and meetings and brainstorming and all that kind of stuff has just happened like over Voxer, which is such a great app. And it's like phone messages you record, and over like other like video chats and that kind of thing. And it just allows us to be so close, even when, because these guys are based in, oh gosh, I think Indiana. Right. So it's crazy how we can do business and be so close to one another when we're so far away. Like, it's really opened up so much in the business world.
Yeah. And so jewelry, I mean, is this how did that happen? How did you fall? Did you fall into it, or is this something, was it a passion of yours, or?
Well, we have a really cool sort of project that we're doing together where they, like, if you go check, I mean, you can go check out their website. It's just tastypeachstudios.com. And they have little characters, like they have one that's a grumpy sheep, and then they have meow cheese, which are cats crossed with the mochi, like the little Japanese snacks. Mm-hmm. And they look like little mochis with ears and eyes and little feet, and they're so cute. And so what they do is they take these characters that the lead artist, Ryan, she's so, so talented. And they take her designs and they turn them into, like, you know, they print them on T-shirts and they make like plushies and jewelry and that kind of thing. So we had like a cool project. I'm not too sure how much I'm allowed to say about it, mm-hmm. but you know what? Why the hell not? We'll go for it. basically, we were because they were at an anime convention I was at in I think it was Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And it was called Ramen Con, and we were sat down, like, we were just like, hey, let's have a drink, like, after, you know, because they go and they do, they deal in the dealer's hall and they sell their wares. And we were like, well, let's sit down and have a chat and see if we want to, you know, do something together. And we all sat down and in the hotel lobby and had a drink, and we're talking about ideas and throwing ideas around, like what could we do to blend like the jewelry and the art and the artwork and the attire and that kind of thing with music. And so we came up with this idea of because I mean, we're all big cat freaks. Like, I'm such mm-hmm. a cat mom. Like, I have, between me and my roommate, we have like four cats, and mm-hmm. they're insane. And so we had this idea of like, what would happen if cats had a band? Like, what would they sing about? What would they write about? Where would they tour? What kind of venues would they play? Like, so we came up with, they're called Konekoyo, which literally means kitten in Japanese. So they're called Konekoyo, and they're Sakumi, Burumi, and Kidumi. And they're these three little kittens, and they've all got little personalities, and we're recording music that they've quote unquote written.
That's awesome.
And I've got a singing voice that I use for Sakumi, and they all play their little instruments, and we're doing sort of merch to go along with it and music, and it should be a really fun project. We're really stoked for it. So
I think YTV would be knocking the door down on that one. That's amazing.
I would love to see like a manga or a cartoon or a comic book or something of these kittens and the crate. Because, we're going to have a Twitter and they're going to be on their Twitter all the time talking about, you know, their tour and what they're doing. And it's great. I just recorded vocals for the first single. It's called I'm So Good at Being Bad. And it's just about like all these things that cats do that, you know, piss off their owners. But you love them anyway because they're cute and they're so good at being bad.
Yeah.
So
my cat threw up all over my bed.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, I hucked a hairball on your couch again. my cats are so naughty. They all have different personalities. And Sherlock, my little black and white one, if anyone out there owns a black and white tuxedo cat, they're dicks. Like, mm-hmm. they're so aloof and they're so mischievous and he's such an ass. So yeah, I definitely think So Good at Being Bad is Sherlock's song.
Mm-hmm. We have a black cat that we went to a shelter and looked at cats. Aww. So we went to a shelter and we found a cat and this cat was so nice and friendly and his name was Steve. And so he doesn't look like a Steve and he has the chip in his ear that's Steve. And so as we brought him home, and it's funny, the lady who's like, this cat is, we got the cat because the owner couldn't pay his hospital bill. So we have the cat. Oh. So I said, well, we'll take the cat. So we took the cat. And this cat is the most friendliest cat, because I've had cats as a kid. And cats hate me. I thought I am cat cancer. Cats don't like me because of my experience cat as a kid tonight. With cats. Yeah, cats just hate me. This cat sits on my lap. This cat loves me. It's like, oh my gosh, I like cats. Kind of cat.
And so many people who don't have cats are always like, you know, like, oh, cats don't have any personality. Cats don't love you. And it's like, my one cat, Bowie, all of my cats have kind of nerdy or musicy names. We've got Pippin from Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. Sherlock, Tesla after Nikola Tesla, mm-hmm. and then Bowie after David Bowie. And Bowie is the youngest, and he's a tabby, and he is just so ridiculously cuddly. Like, he'll sit on my lap, and you know, when he wants to sit on your lap, he's sitting on your lap. He doesn't care what you're doing. Like, he'll climb on top of your laptop, like, and they're so sweet. And going on tour and leaving them is like the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm. Who watches your cats? You must have a roommate watch your cats.
My roommate watches my cats, thankfully. Yeah. I have two roommates and they take good care of them. So and they love the cats and the cats love them. So it's all good. Yeah.
So how many months of the year are you away from the lovely town of Vancouver touring and whatnot?
I would say at least half the year. Yeah. I've got a bunch of tours coming up this summer for America and Canada and
end of the month for us, right? Canada?
Yeah, end of the month. That's no, March. End of the month. End of March I'm doing we're heading out to Chicago this weekend actually. I've got a convention, Sci-Fi Con in Chicago. They're really cool. They're like a sci-fi convention. They made local news or national news last year because they were doing deals with the Radisson Hotel.
Okay.
And then the Radisson decided that they were going to call the cosplayers and the, you know, nerds freaks, a bunch of freaks. So they didn't want the convention there because they didn't want a bunch of freaks there. So I'm traveling out to perform at this convention, and then we'll be playing shows there and playing shows back. And
so it's like a Comic-Con, or is it a?
Yeah. It's a lot like San Diego Comic-Con, but on a smaller scale.
Right.
So it's anime, like Japanese anime, like, you know, like Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, that sort of stuff. And then it's a lot of them have recently branched out. So, you know, fans of Supernatural and Doctor Who and, you know, more Americanized, like My Little Pony, like more Americanized stuff. It's become just huge fan conventions for all of these things, like Star Wars and Star Trek. And
you remember they used to have Star Trek conventions?
They did.
I don't know if they still do. Yeah, it's crazy.
So cool.
And they actually had Kiss conventions. I don't know if they still have Kiss conventions, the band. And
yes, they do.
Do they still have Kiss conventions? And I remember somebody tried to Rush Con too for the band Rush.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that's a stretch. It's a big stretch.
So there was just one recently called DashCon, which was a Tumblr convention.
Oh.
It was just a convention for Tumblr. And it Google DashCon. It failed, sadly.
The kid, just because you put con at the end doesn't mean it's going to, you know, be successful. Come on.
Yeah, basically. And so, I mean, they're usually so fun. Like, conventions are amazing. I mean, I went to my first one when I was, gosh, I think 15. Mm-hmm. And up until then, like, I only had like one or two other friends in my school, because I grew up in a small town, who were into the sort of, you know, Final Fantasy and mm-hmm. Star Trek and all the nerdy stuff I was into. So to go to an actual convention and meet other kids and adults who mm-hmm. were into the same thing as me was just like, there's such a cool atmosphere at these conventions. I love playing them. Like, I can get up on stage and the kids are just, they just want to have a good time. They're just there to enjoy themselves. And it's so magic. Like, I've met some of the most amazing people at conventions. They're so much fun.
I bet, because it's a happening. It's not just a show. It's a happening. It's like everybody gets, you know, gets to be with each other. It's like, it's kind of the way music shows should be. It's like, I'm a fan of this band. Well, I'm a fan of this band too. Okay, well, let's high five and then we'll be at the front row. And
yeah, totally.
But when you put some like a fandom kind of convention, it must just be even extra special, cuddly.
Well, it's so cool because it's like, you know, I can meet, I can do signings or you know, hang out at my merch table after I've performed. Or like, I mean, I love just wandering around the convention and going to the panels and the events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can meet these people and it's like, we don't just connect in a sense of, oh, I saw you perform, I like your music. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it becomes like, it almost like, because musicians are on such a pedestal to fans, and it's really cool because the conventions allow you to kind of come down and be like, no, well, you're into Sherlock Holmes, well, so am I, and we just sort of nerd out about, you know, and like sometimes I'll dress up in costume and everyone else dresses up in costume, and mm-hmm. it's really cool. It just gives you so much to talk about with your fans, like, yeah. Stuff that's outside of the music, which is really cool.
True. And it the whole thing too about, if you were, yeah, I think those are cherished times, because if something happens in your career where you are going to get mobbed or whatever, it turns into a whole different thing. And it's, I've seen people kind of, you know, tastefully get themselves from sort of being with the fans to not being with the fans anymore.
Yeah.
It's a very tricky game to not look like a douche. You know,
I mean, I love hanging out with fans and stuff, especially at the conventions, like, or just after shows or whatever. Like, I'll just be like, I don't know, like, I'll just be hanging out with fans and be like, let's go grab coffee, like, show's over, let's go hang out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so much fun to just sort of hang out and you know, meet the people who are supporting you and actually get to enjoy their company and get to know them as friends. Like, Twitter has been great for that as well. Like, just being online and being able to talk to people. Like, I probably wouldn't have a career if it wasn't for Twitter.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. You're using what people like who are, I mean, I embrace Twitter, I embrace social networks, but the younger people are definitely taking it and using it like it should be used. The older people like to sort of be skeptical and say, I don't know about the Twitters, you know, well, who wants to know what I'm doing, you know? And, you know, truthfully, when I first got into Twitter, I'm like, well, why would anybody want to know what I'm doing? Like, I'm just, you know, and I'm reading what people are doing. This is like, you know, whatever, 2009 or 8, whenever, 7 or 8, whenever it first came into its own. And I'm looking at this going, why would anybody want to know what I'm drinking for coffee or whatever, or having fun, like, you know, but I understand it. You know, if you have a good following and you know how to deliver your information to people in a manner that they understand, that is magic, you know, so.
Well, it becomes like a conversation, basically. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I could post something like a picture of what one of my cats is doing. And, you know, because it's the same people on my Twitter who read my Twitter, you know, I know about their cats and they know about my cats. So we just start laughing about how stupid our cats are. Like, it's literally just like a giant ongoing conversation with tons of people. But well, I love it. I love social media. It's a bit of an addiction.
Yeah, I bet. Did you see the new, are you an Apple product person?
I am, yes.
Yes, so there's going to be the new phone, the new watch. So you won't even need to look at your phone anymore.
Yes, I heard about that. I want one so bad.
I know, I kind of do too, actually.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that's insane. The Apple Watch is insane.
It sort of took what do they have? There's a Fitbit that came out. What they did is announced it in, what, September or something, that there's going to be the Apple Watch to compete with all the phones, or actually all the watches that were coming out over the Christmas time.
Yes.
So people didn't, it's actually slowed the sales down for Fitbits and the other watches and smartwatches and this and that, Android-based
watches. Because everyone's waiting for the Apple Watch.
Everybody's waiting for the Apple Watch. And I hope it delivers. You know, I never really grabbed something on the first iteration. You know, I always let it go one full year before I, you know, because it's always that you feel like, I've did it with my laptop. I bought a brand new laptop and then 4 months later they came out with the iSeries laptops, which are 10, three times faster. And I'm like, really? Yeah. How dare you?
I try not to get things when they're new. I mean, I, you know, as a kid, like, I could never really afford like lots of new stuff. Like my mom would get us like a new console for Christmas, and that was like huge for us. Like we love it. But I never was, you know, I was a gamer, but I was never one of those kids who would always buy the new DS or always buy the new console or system. And I like to let it go for a cycle too, and see kind of how it does. It's like when I get an iOS update on my phone, I wait and see if people start bitching about it on Facebook before I actually download it.
Yeah,
you guys can be the test subjects.
I got so bit hard in iOS 7 when it went from 6 to 7. Yeah. It blew up my phone. Like, I was so lucky. Like, because I went into beta, and I went all summer tour managing this band with this phone that was faulty.
Oh, no.
And it's like, it's not working now. What's going on? And people are trying to get a hold of me. And I thought, that's never going to happen again. And then iOS 8 came out. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just try. And iOS 8 was very smooth for me. There was no problems.
8's great. Yeah. I didn't download 7, but when 8 came out, a lot of people were talking about it. So I was like, yeah, cool. It's good. I'll download this now. I don't have to be so skeptical.
Yeah.
I'm very frightened of change. So,
oh, I have your concert dates here. Actually, I'll cool. I'll read them out. March 14th at the Hop, Spokane, Washington. March 16th at El Roco, Grand Forks,
North Dakota.
March 19th in Chicago at Chi-Fi.
Yes, that's the convention.
Yeah.
If you are in Chicago, come check it out because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and March 27th at the 333 Vancouver, Canada, a home show.
That will be my EP release.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And July 31st, that's all towards the end of the summer. My eyes are screwed. It looks like San Japan. Oh, is that the name of the venue? Okay.
San Japan is another anime convention. They were one of my, they sort of babied. You know, they took me in when I was baby guest and sort of loved me and mm-hmm. watered me and fed me, and they're really cool. So,
were you a big Pokemon fan?
I was, yes. I played Pokemon Yellow and Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue. And then when they started creating new ones past the original 151, I said, screw this. And now my roommate has Pokemon X, and I'm trying to get used to Pokemon that look like ice cream cones and honeycombs.
I never got it. My son got so hard into Pokemon, and I'm like trying to play the game, and I'm like, it's like cricket. Like, what is going on here? Like,
I don't understand cricket either.
Yeah. So that was for me with Pokemon cards. So I see their statistics, but I'm playing it like baseball. So wait, is this one got, this one's got some sort of, it can do something, you know? And, you know, my son got really into Pokemon for the DS too, like really into it. And the music.
Pokemon games are
great. All the crazy 8-bit sound and everything, and there's
the DS, wonderful. We just me and Kit just bought a DS in the States because it's cheaper down there, and yeah. Portland, no sales tax.
The 3D.
So, we got the 3DS XL, not the new one, like the older one,
mm-hmm.
and we love it. Like it's my first new console in like a while. So, mm-hmm. and I can get street passes now. So, yay! Pokemon is crazy how long it survived. Yeah. Like, you know, I'll walk out of my house and the kids on the street are sat on the street playing Pokemon cards, and I'm like, I used to do that when I was six. Like, six is pushing it. I used to do that when I was like, you know, 9 or 10. Like,
yeah. And the song is still there. And where I work, there's an a cappella group, and they do the Pokemon theme with drums and everything.
That's awesome. I do it when I go to conventions.
Like, oh, you do?
Yeah, when my fans come to see me at conventions, they know that at some point in my set, the Pokemon theme song will come out.
Gotta catch them all.
Because everyone knows it. Everyone can sing along.
That's true. It's true.
It wakes everyone up.
That's true. So are you coming this part of Canada? Are you coming out to Toronto to do any shows?
Hell yeah.
When?
I'm hoping to be booking that, May, June, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got a girl... I don't know if you know the band Kill Matilda. They're a great, great band. Mm. Dusty from Kill Matilda is helping me out with some booking and stuff.
Okay.
And she's really good. So, yeah, I've definitely said, like, I'd love to go back to Toronto. Thunder Bay is great. Like, Thunder mm-hmm. Bay is such a cool little town. Montreal is wonderful. Quebec City. And actually, Winnipeg. I really enjoyed, what was it? Oh, was it Regina, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the way.
Aussies in Winnipeg, I think.
Yeah, that's Aussies is in Winnipeg. That's right.
Yeah, they were great. They were so nice.
I lived there for a little while. I lived in Winnipeg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Winnipeg is fun. I like Winnipeg.
It was fun. And I went there in August, and I worked for a band called the Small Town Pistols. And we did a festival there, and it was Zac Brown Band, Walk Off the Earth. It was a big show. It was at Blue Bomber Stadium. And I walked around Winnipeg, and it was almost depressing. I was like, ugh.
Winnipeg is like, I like it because it's got that sort of prairie, small towny feel. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't grow up in Canada, so that's so... I'm going to get killed by people in Winnipeg. It's so corner gas. I love it. That was a great show. That was the first show I ever watched in Canada.
All right.
I sit there and watch corner gas every day.
Do you watch Coronation Street?
I did, yes.
You did? What do you mean you did?
I did. It's
You have to. It's on your passport. Read it proper.
It's Yeah. Cannot give up passport if sent to war and must watch Coronation Street.
That's right.
No, I used to enjoy watching it, but it's like 6 months behind here, and it's like
2 weeks.
We've caught up.
Yeah, it's like two weeks behind.
Maybe I'll get back into it. Yeah. I have a mate coming over from England. He's trying to move here, and I think I might have to start watching Coronation Street again.
It's all happening.
Yeah. Well, I always go home and like to visit my mom, and she's a huge Corey fan. So we'll just sort of sit and watch it, and she'll have to explain to me what's going on and what I've missed.
My son is into Coronation Street, which is crazy.
Really?
He's going on 12 at the end of the month, and he's like, tonight, because I'm like, I have to go record a podcast. He's saying, yeah, we're going to miss Coronation Street. I'm like, yeah.
Really?
It's in a good moment right now, too. Because you know how it goes, right? And one minute, it's just like, everything is going on. And then it's next. Then it's like, where are my shoes? Have you seen my shoes? You're like, this is story? This is part of the Coronation ethos? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. It's so great. And I one thing I love about Corey is that they're not afraid to, like, really tackle, like, you know, actual issues. Like, they had a transgender character, Haley.
Yep. Haley. And they killed her off, though.
I know. She had cancer. That was so sad. Yeah. That made me cry like a child. But, like, just the fact that they would do stuff, you know, and then they had when Todd was gay and...
Yep. He's back.
Sarah's boyfriend. Yeah. Is he back?
Yeah, he's back. He's been back for, like, almost... Oh, I was going to say 8 months, almost a year.
Oh, gosh. Yep. Oh. My mom clearly needs to keep me more up to date here.
My parents are in Florida right now, and they were like, they got a satellite dish that's supposed to be able to reach Canada from Florida, and they just for the strict purpose of picking up Coronation Street. And it didn't work. So last year when they did it, I was actually screen capturing Coronation Street on CBC and then putting it on a website that was specifically for them, that they would go and download the Coronation Streets.
That's amazing.
It was a job. It was a long process, and we got it done.
It's a good show.
It is.
If you can get past the depressing theme song, it's a really good show.
So, yeah, and they're going through some teenage pregnancy right now, which is,
who's knocked up?
What's her name? The adopted girl, Anna's adopted child. What's her name? Faye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's pregnant, and she's going to keep it, and she's trying to hide it. I think is funny because Eva just left to go because she was pregnant in real life. So they always do that weird camera shot to hide the belly. You're like, oh, she's pregnant. Come on. And you can just tell by the shot, like, she's trying to hide something.
They're deliberately making it. I have a couple friends right now who are pregnant and trying to hide it. And apparently it's not working. Tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, need baggier sweaters.
I could talk for longer, but I don't want to keep you because we're coming on to an hour now. And I would like to have you back on the show because this is...
Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to.
Anytime.
It's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And sort of this is the thing. It's sort of like, let's get to know you rather than... I could play that music. Well, maybe just as a joke segment. Maybe I'll have like the bad... Okay, I got Kieran Strange on the radio. Okay, weather traffic coming up now. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Kieran.
Radio 4.
So then I'll ask you a question. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Kieran. Okay, can't talk right now. We got to go with weather, traffic, sports. It's top of the hour coming up. You know, that's radio.
It's great. Radio is scary.
Yes.
It's so intense.
Yeah, I've used to do the one where you'd have to go into with your acoustic guitars, and it was like punk rock band to play acoustic versions. And I always thought that was so lame.
Some of them sound good though. Like, I mean, I'm a big fan of Paramore, and like whenever they go into radio and do their acoustic stuff, it always sounded great. But then some bands, like, they make it acoustic, and you're like, huh, this is interesting.
Good people. Good people. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for being on the podcast.
And, no worries. Thank you for having me, man.
And whenever you're in Toronto, look us up, because we have a common friend now, Melanie Kay. And I have to thank Melanie for introducing me to you and getting you on the podcast. And
thank you, Melanie. You're the best.
Yeah. And we will...
And I'll bug Steve and find out if he remembers.
I'm going to hit stop. Here, hold on a sec. And there you go. Fact check, by the way, is it wasn't Southampton. It was a port in Ireland. That was the last Titanic port. And don't ask me how to pronounce it, because it actually is spelled C-O-B-H in Ireland. I don't know why I got fixated on that, but there you go. That is the last port. So everybody, thanks, Karen, for being on the podcast. You can go to her website /blog, which is kieranstrange.com. She's got a funky way of spelling her first name. So it is Kieran, K-I-E-R-A-N, Strange. That's one word, .com. Check out her tour. Go to the store. Get contact to her. Get all her social media stuff and connect with her and say hi. While you're there on the interwebs, you can go to fetchclass.com, sign up. Now with a new video link. The old video link went bunk, so I spent a couple of days trying to get fixed. It is back up and running, folks. Also, go to bot96.lt. I should really finish that site. It really needs some work. Check out Rules. Rules, I'm just finishing up this album for Rules, and it is actually not just a tricky name. It's going to rule. It's got Ben Rispin and Chuck Coles and a guy named Adam and somebody from the Penske File. It's really cool. Really cool stuff. Sounds like they're Refused, but they want it to sound like Death from Above 1979, which I wholeheartedly disagree with. Follow the podcast on Facebook as it is. Just search out Apolog Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, do all that stuff. Go to iTunes, like, comment, subscribe. It helps me out with getting on the charts. Because, you know, as a musician, I never really got in the charts. And now I'm in the charts. I'm in the top 200 charts. What they're called, personal journal podcasts. So it's not the big times, but it's a chart. And I like it. I'm in new and noteworthy and all that good stuff. While you're on going to the actual website, www.apolog.esy.es, Apolog is spelled APOLOGUE.esy.es, go to the Amazon banner. If you're from the UK, if you're from Americas, if you're from Canada, and click through and bookmark that, and you'll be helping the show. It really helped me out. Follow me on the Twitter, @SimonHead666. There's going to be a little bit of confusion going into the next episode after this, which is Stuart Cameron. Stuart was supposed to be coming up this Monday, on this Monday coming up that you're hearing it, this one. But because Kieran's got some shows and some touring, I figured it was important to put her before Stuart. Sorry, Stuart, you're next week. So when you hear the end of Stuart, it'll be announcing the Kieran episode. So get my dig. It's not going to happen. I don't know who's coming after Stuart. That's 2 weeks from now, so I got some thinking to do. It might be Ian Blurton. It might be Dave Bedini. It might be both. Who knows? But two of those motherfuckers got to get back to me so we can do it. So yeah, it'd probably be Ian Blurton. But you know what? Who knows? If you know somebody who wants to be on the show, why don't you leave a comment on the Facebook or Twitter me? If you want to be on the show, you know, comment me, or Twitter me, or do what the kids do. So this has gone too long. So anyways, thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. We'll see you next week. Come back again. I'll be here. See ya.